Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
If you've got your Bibles, turn to the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to preach on verse 5 tonight, thou preparest a table. He was preparing some things on Calvary. He's preparing some things in my life. I was telling Megan on the way over here. Y'all know the story. Kind of got here. We was at a low point. We just come through a valley in verse 4. Found a table in verse 5. Lord, let us sit in here for a year and a half or so. Get loved on. Get loved on. Grow. Get picked up and just prepared me for another valley down the road. You know, that's what this thing's about, growth. The more we grow, the closer we are to Him, like Him. And the more we can realize that what we go through, He really is right there. He really is right there. If you'll stand to your feet for the reverence of God's Word, I'm going to read the entire Psalm, if that's all right. And I'm just going to preach out verse 5. Bible says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Now here it is, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, I want to talk about tonight, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Heavenly Father, I come to You tonight. Lord God, I'm nervous. Be honest with You, Lord, I ain't been quite this nervous in a long time, and I don't want to miss You. I don't want to drop a ball. God, I want to do just what You had me do, God. I don't know why You want me to preach it, Father, but I believe this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. So, God, I pray, Lord, that You just get me out of the way. God, I pray, Father, that the Holy Ghost would step in. And that while I'm preaching one message, God, would You preach 100? God, would You can get a hold of hearts, Lord, Father, tonight. Open them up, Lord God. Give them ears to hear. Lord, let their heart be good ground, that that seed can fall upon, take root. God, let's leave changed, Lord God, different than we came, closer to You. And God, I sure need Your help tonight. There'll be no preaching, God, absent You helping. Lord, save the lost, restore backslidden. Lord God, I love You in Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, y'all are very familiar with the 23rd Psalm. This is, I said it this morning, I'll say it. If you've been in church any time, you've heard something about the 23rd Psalm. Somebody's preached on it. Somebody's taught on it. There's something. I'm probably not going to give you nothing new tonight. You already know it. I'm just trying to give you what Lord put on my heart, if that's all right. I want to start out with this. I see some things in this verse 5, but the most important thing I believe is verse 1. I want you to see there, preparest the table, but in verse 1 you find the preparer. It says Thou preparest. Who's he talking about? Hey, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, can I tell you, the Psalm 23 verse 1 is the hinge that whole psalm rotates on. It is the foundation, the anchor of that psalm. If you take the first half of verse 1 out, you really ain't got nothing else in the rest of it. Hey, without the Lord, friend, there's no hope. Without the Lord, there's no green pastures. Without the Lord, there's no water. Without the Lord, there's no places of righteousness. Hey, without the Lord, hey, that valley of the shadow of death, friends, lonely. Hey, but because of Him, He'll comfort you. He's with you. Hey, without the Lord, there's no table. Hey, without the Lord, there's no His house. Hey, to live with Him forever and ever. I'm trying to tell you tonight, hey, it's the Lord that's the shepherd. And let me just say it like this. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll first find Him in Judges chapter 6. He speaks to Gideon there, the angel of the Lord, I believe that's Lord Jesus. He shows up right there. He's got a rod in His hand right then and a staff, friend. You say, how do you know that? Because He touched that sacrifice with that staff. You find Him in Revelation 19 coming back. And I'm telling you, He says He's going to have an iron rod in his hand. Hey, but you'll find him right here walking with us, helping us. Hey, friend, he's got a rod. Hey, can I tell you, he's been a shepherd at the beginning. He's a shepherd now. He's going to see us through all the way home, and he'll still be a shepherd. Hey, let me say it like this. You'll find so many different names in the Bible for the Lord. Hey, but in these six verses, you'll find several. Hey, in verse 1, he's the Lord my shepherd. He's also the Lord my provider. In verse 2, he's the Lord my peace. In verse 3, he's the Lord my healer. He's also the Lord my righteous. In verse 4, he's the Lord that is near. In verse 5, he's the Lord our banner. And also, he's the Lord my sanctifier. In verse 6, he's the Lord most high. In verse 6, at the end, he's the Lord everlasting. Hey, can I tell you what you'll find out? He is the I am that I am. Hey, can I tell you who he is? He's whatever you need him to be, right when you need him to be it, at the right time. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. In verse 1, if you need, in verse 2, if you need green grass and water, he's the one who knows where to find it. Hey, in verse 3, if you need paths of righteousness, if you need restoring, he's the one who knows how to do it. Hey, but in verse 4, hey, when the valley gets dark and things start looking like they ain't no good, I'm here to tell you he's comfort. He's the one with you. He said he'd never leave you, hey, nor forsake you. Hey, in verse 5, he's the banner that prepares the table, friend. He's everything you need him. Hey, without him, the 23rd Psalm is really nothing. It's really nothing. But praise God, we got a provider. How do you see this? He prepares the table. I want you to see the place. I might get long-winded, but I'm just going to try to obey God if that's okay. The word table, it really means a flat place and spread by implication, a spread of a meal, something to be served on. And the first time you see that word is in Exodus 25:23. It's referring to the table of showbread in the tabernacle. And you say, what's that got to mean? Well, that showbread sat there, and they put the loaves on their friend, and it was 12 loaves for the 12 tribes of Israel, and they was 6 on one side, and they 6 on the other. 66. How many books your Bible got in it? 66. There's a place of bread right there. It was a place of fellowship, Brother Stan. They would walk up, and the priests would gather around that. They would eat and fellowship with each other while they ate the bread. It was a place of freshness. Can I say, the bread wouldn't stay there long, friend. That new on there, it was something new, something good. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying he prepared a table. I'm telling you, I'm glad I got something fresh. I can go to it, spread out in front of me. Hey, I can have fellowship with him. Hey, let me just remind you, this same Lord that's my shepherd wants to have fellowship with his sheep. He wants to have communion with his sheep. He wants to talk with them. Hey, and be with them, and you'll see right here at this table, hey, it spread forth for fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, he says, I am the bread. Amen. You want to learn about him, you want to grow with him, it's going to start with these 66 books, friend. That's how you're going to get it. But I want you to see this. A table don't necessarily mean or refer to a place to eat. Oftentimes it's a flat place in mountain regions, a table of land. And I believe honestly this is what we're looking at, a context of a shepherd and his sheep. He's went through the valley there in verse 4, and they're going to verse 5, and they're going to a higher ground where there's a plateau land where there's fresh grass. They've ate all the grass in the valley. I mean, you can't listen to it. I'm not a straight up farm boy, but I got enough sense. You got to move the cows around once in a while. You got to take them. They'll eat all the grass. And if they eat all that dead grass, them dead roots, it's going to make them sick. So they got to go through the valley to get to high ground. Let me just help you out here just a minute. This is a parenthetical thought. You can't stay where you are spiritually your whole life. You'll just get sick and die. You got to go through the valley. You can get to the green grass. You got to get up. But that table of ground, it's lush up there. There's a place that they can go. But can I say this? It's also a place of abundance. It's a place where you left not having, it was getting a sparing out here, but you went through the valley, you get to the table. Man, there's abundance. You know why? Because somebody's prepared it. The shepherd's prepared it. He's took his time to go ahead of you. He's took his time to make sure the grass is good. He's took his time to dig out the well so you'll have water. He's took his time to clean it from the enemy. We'll get that in a minute. But there's a thing here that you see that he would take the higher ground so they can have a better life. Can I tell you, Lord Jesus, come, not that you have life more abundantly. It's not God's will that we just sit on the pew. We're about to try to go into revival. It's not God's will you leave revival Friday night in the same spiritual condition you was in tonight. You need to be better. You need to be closer to God. You need to be praying more, seeking His face more. That's the will of God, that you can have a more abundant life. In 2 Peter 3:18, he said, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You know how you're going to do that, friend? You're going to have to go by the table. You're going to have to get something to eat. That's the will of God, that you grow. But can I see this, friend? I want you to notice, you've got to go through verse 4 before you ever can get to verse 5. Now listen, I know I preached this here before, but listen to me again. It's still true. You cannot skip the valley. There's no shortcut. There's no easy way. Brother Lord, if it was easy, everybody do it. Amen. If it was easy to be able to call the power down from heaven, everybody call the power down from heaven. If it was easy to be able to get a hold of God just on command, everybody be able to do that. It's going to take some valley experiences that God will mold you, shape you, and put you where you need to be, that you can really learn that He is the Lord thy God. He is the banner. He is the strength. He is those things you need in the valley, as you'll go to the table. The table has got to come by way of the valley. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 10, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that's your valley, as a roaring lion seeketh who he may walk about, seeketh who he may devour. But now watch this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. There's no time in the valley for the sheep to go left, to go right. The sheep just follows the shepherd. That's how you get through the valley. You say the valley's death. No, it's the shadow of death. Death ain't got no hold on you, friend. If you're a born again child of God, you'll not die. I mean, your body may fall down, but it'll be absent of the body's presence of the Lord. Amen. I mean, there's no death. There's no harm there. It's just scary. Shadows are scary, friend. And oftentimes they're bigger than what's making the shadow. But you've got to go through verse 4. And you've got to say steadfast. Just hold on to the shepherd. Walk with the shepherd. Now watch this. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren which are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Did you notice that? After you suffer a while, that's when you get strengthening. That's when you get establishing. That's when you get that thing you want. Only comes after you suffered a while. Can I tell you, you'll never bench press 400 pounds if you don't first lay under 200. You'll never bench press that until you lay under 300. You'll never get up until you're under 350. And what that's really doing is breaking your muscles down. It literally tears them down, breaks them apart, that they may grow back stronger. Does that sound familiar? You know what a valley does? I'm telling you, it'll break you down. It'll have you thinking, am I going to make it? It tears you apart. I can't believe somebody hurt me that way. I can't believe somebody talked to me. That knife still hurts. That knife still stings. Hey, but that valley, God's letting you go through that. He's allowing you to go through it. He's leading you through it. Hey, just because He knows that verse 5 is right around the corner. Just because He knows that there's a high table and He wants to get you to. There's a better place to live. And He's got to get you through the valley, and that you might get to the table that He's prepared. Can I see this to you? There's the place of it. Don't you see the preparing? He says, thou preparedest. You look that word up, and what you'll find out is it means to arrange, to put in order. But notice this, Brother Heath, this blew my mind, to set in array. That's a military term. As a matter of fact, the first time in your King James Bible it's used is in Genesis 14:8, referring to an army joining battle. That means that He prepared. He went to battle for you. He took the fight to the enemy. He joined in. And it's in perfect context, the verb is, meaning that it's a continual thing. He prepared yesterday, he prepared today, he'll prepare tomorrow. Hey, 100 years down the road, he'll still be prepared. A million years down the road, he'll still be prepared. Hey, can I say this? He's still fighting the battle on your behalf. He's still doing it. And I want you to see this now. The first time it was used when joining the battle, the second time it was used to be putting the wood in order when Abraham put Isaac on the altar. You know what that tells me? Hey, I'm talking about, the first one speaks of war, the second one speaks of a perfect sacrifice. You know what happened on Calvary, friend? Hey, it was war. Hey, that was put in array. God entered the war on that thing. In Genesis 3, friend, the devil started something and he could not finish. He started a fight. He started a battle. Hey, he set, on Calvary, when all things started going, hey, he set things in array. He crawled up on that cross. He took his old foot. Hey, bruised that devil's head, friend. And he put it back in order is what he done. He put it in order. Can I see this? So I got to studying on this just a little bit. And there was some different ways that the shepherd would prepare that table. One way he said he'd do it, he said they'd take some meat, bloody meat, and they'd wrap a wire, a string around it. And they'd go out there to that table, and Brother Jonathan, they'd take that thing, they'd throw that meat out there, across that thing. Then they'd hold it with that string, and they'd ease it across. And it said snakes in that grass would come out and latch on that bloody meat and hold on to it. And he'd drag that to them. Then he'd take his rod, knock that snake in the head. He'd pick that meat back up, throw it out there again, drag it again. Snake would bite it. He'd drag it to him. He'd hit it with a rod. Now, I can't preach the whole 23rd time I want to, but you ain't got time. But you know how the shepherd got his rod? The father would look at the son as his little shepherd. And when it was time, Brother Jonathan, the father would say, go out there and pick your rod. And the son would take off. He'd leave the father. Y'all hearing me? He'd leave the father. He'd go down there and find him a little sapling there. He'd cut it off about 3 foot over the ground, dig the root ball up, polish that root ball out, make it have a stick with a big ball in it. He made him a weapon. He chose out the rod that he would later use to kill the snakes. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about God the Father. Hey, looked at God the Son. Just when it was right time for him. Hey, when it was time for him to come. Whenever all the stars aligned, just like God wanted them to. He said, son, it's time to go get your rod. Hey, God the Son left. He come born of a virgin. Hey, lived the perfect 33 and a half years on this earth. He went and picked out his rod on Calvary. Hey, crawled up on that thing. I'm telling you what God done, friend. He drunk some bloody meat across there. Hey, to kill him. You say, bloody meat? Oh, yes, friend. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, and the Bible said his sweat. It was as great drops of blood. And that's where you see the first bite. You say, what are you talking about? Judas shows up. Judas comes on scene. And you know what he done? He kissed him on his cheek. Had to identify who he was. And let me just stop right here just a minute. Can you imagine after he was bleeding and Judas come and kissed him on his cheek? It is very possible that Judas kissed at the very blood that would have saved his soul, and he died and went to hell anyway. Amen, friend. But the snake bit him right then. That's what snakes do, they use their mouth. The snake bit him. That guard took him. That blood's on him because he'd been sweating blood. That guard took him from the Garden of Gethsemane to the council. And they counseled against him, and they hit on him, and they beat him some more, and he bled, and took him to Pilate, and they counseled on him again, and they took him outside, and they beat him that cat of nine tails. He's just traveling, just being drugged all through Jerusalem right there, bleeding. You hearing me? I'm talking about he put bloody meat on a rope, amen. He's preparing a table. And they took him in there and they plucked his beard out and they put thorns on his head. And there's no doubt when they got done beating that cat of nine tails and they's leading him out of the city. Hey, blood, Brother Jonathan, hey, just drip off of him. He might be spit up some blood. Hey, it was blood everywhere leading all the way to Calvary. And they got up there. And when God got his big A, when God got his piece of bloody meat, had it right where he wanted him. At that very time, the shepherd, friend, hey, he took out his rod. He killed that snake. Let me preach you how I want to preach it. He went all the way to Calvary, a bloody mess. And when he got up there, friend, how the Lord Jesus took his foot, he stomped that devil right in the head. He said, "You're done, son." He said, "It is finished." You know what's finished, neighbor? At the table of salvation. And he was preparing. It was done, friend. It was finished. But that ain't the only way he prepared it, Brother John. They said that they'd go out there sometimes dragging that meat, that they'd take oil and go out there and find them holes them snakes would be in, and he'd pour it in there. I'm talking about preparing a table. He'd pour that hole in there. And they said when the sheep would come up there, I read two different things, and I don't know which one's 100% true, but maybe both of them together would be good. Amen? One of them said this, at the oil, they just didn't like to be around it. So when they went up to get out of that hole and they saw that oil, they'd back off, they'd leave. That's what they said. The other one said that the oil would run them off. Or this, who knows? But the point is this. That's what they said that the oil was this. That when they tried to come out of the hole, they'd slip back down in it because that oil was slick. Now, I don't know what the truth is. All I know is this. The sheep could feed in peace. The devil couldn't get them. What I'm talking about is that God, the Holy Ghost, hey, when I got saved by the Lord, he put something down in a hole, friend. Hey, when somebody moved in right there in my heart and in bad times and he gets me to higher ground, I'm here to tell you I left that one church, friend. I was broken. I come in and sat down right over there. I didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do. Hey, when I'm telling you he put some oil in, he fixed some things. I'm telling you what the shepherd done. He went out there and drew him a line. I just made a big mark. In front of the enemy, he drew him a line. He said, "Friend, you ain't going by that line. That'll be enough." And the Holy Ghost of God restrains him. I can rest in peace. You say, "Oh, you need to have Bible for that, friend." I said, "All right." In 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, and he'll be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." It's only the Holy Ghost of God that allows this place, and not to see all the evil that the devil wants to see it. It's restraining. I'm going to see the last thing it does, and I'm going to move on. He prepared it by pouring out poisonous weeds. They said them shepherds would go up on that table ground, they'd kneel down, and they just dig and pull out all the poisonous weeds so the sheep wouldn't eat them and make them sick. You hear what I'm saying? I believe there's one book right there. I believe it's the King James Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible said it's, "Thy word is pure and thy servants loveth it." You know why? Because there's no poison in it. See, sheep, if they went up there and ate that ground and had to worry about everything they ate, it's going to make them sick. They wouldn't like that high ground no good. They wouldn't want to go up there. But see, they went with the shepherd before. And that shepherd led them through a valley before. Took them to higher ground before. And when they got there, honey, that was good fresh grass. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing going to make them sick. He took care of it. 2 Timothy Bible says this. 3:16, "All scripture given inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness." It's good for you to grow. It's good for you to get what you need. But it's there. It's the table, friend. Can I say this? Psalms 12:6-7 says this. "The words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from generation forever." You know what that tells me? They had a big book burning at Amazon, per se. If you had books on Amazon, if it didn't see things their way, a lot of them they took off. It's a modern day book burning is what that is. You know one book they'll never get rid of? That right there. They've killed people because they try to stop that book. There it sits. Hundreds and thousands of martyrs has died because of this book. He's never got rid of it. And let me tell you, friend, real close, you look up in here to me, hey, it'll never get gone. It don't matter what nobody does. It don't matter what the government decides. They can try to burn them. They can try to get rid of them. Hey, but he said it would endure, hey, for generation. Matter of fact, he said when all things pass away, friend, hey, the word of God's going to stand. Hey, when everything else is gone and the world is burning and God's put his judgment on this place, hey, you look up in here, hey, the word of God is still going to be standing strong, hey, that the sheep may fellowship with the shepherd. Let me say that right there. Let me just see this. I'm trying to quibble. Let me see this. There's the power in it. There's the power in it. The Bible said, there prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That literally means that they're all around, that I'm sitting in the middle and I'm all around. Dr. Mike Bagwell said like this, I'm feasting in the face of the foe. They put that table up there. I like what one writer said. It was Matthew Poole. He said, in the presence of mine enemies, they seeing and envying and fretting at all, but not being able to hinder it. That's the enemies. Those that want to bind you and kill you and hurt you and talk about you and drag your ministry down and drag your family down. All they want to do is talk, run that mouth. That's what snakes do, friend. Hey, but he said this. Hey, it's in the presence and you'll not touch them. Not touch them. It's the power in it. I mean, think about this. We often say this. I'd like to charge hell with a water gun. And I'll probably say it again because it preaches real good, Brother Jonathan. But the truth is this. I'm no match for the devil. You're no match for the devil. And if I was to stand toe-to-toe with the devil, Hoss, look, I get tripped up on little things. What am I going to do when I got to stare him in the eyes? But y'all been young before, hadn't you? Come on, y'all men, help me out here, man. Y'all used to get in some fights as little. So if you didn't, you ain't grew up right, amen? We've got some guys on police force. Oh, this is the truth. Never been in a fist fight. You better get that out of your belt, Hoss. But he says, in the presence of mine enemies. And he sets them down right there. And I honestly believe this. You can preach it how you want to later. But he said this. I believe he goes out there like what he used to do as kids and draws a line and says, I dare you to cross that. And every time the devil get close, I know you've done this. When the devil get close, you go. Come on. Ever youngin' done that. Am I lying? If you come across it, I'm going to get you. Most time it didn't work for me. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord Jesus walks over there with his rod, that's a weapon of war, friend. Because that preparedness is a war term. And when he walks over and that old devil is walking around like a lion seeking who he can devour, and he walks over there, he takes that rod, he draws him a line. He said, it'd be about as far as you go, Hoss. You know what he says? Yes, sir. You say, I don't know about that, but you better read the book of Job. He come to Job. Hey, and God said, have you thought about my servant's Job? He said, how can I? You've got a hedge about it. What do you want me to do about him? He said, you're protecting him. He said, let me tell you what he's really saying in redneck terms. God, you know I can't put my hand on him. You're protecting him. He's the mitten defeat. Before the battle even got started with Job, he said, I can't do nothing with him. You know why? Hey, because Job was on higher ground. Hey, and God would not let nothing touch him. I got good news for you, friend. Hey, God may put you in a valley. He may drag you through a valley. You may get beaten, tore up, and that's all fine. But when you get to higher ground, when he's done molding you just for a minute, hey, when he's done making you what he wants, there's going to be a time that devil's going to rear his ugly head. He's going to say, that's enough. He's going to stop. The power of it. I mean, he said it to Peter. He said, the devil will swift you like wheat. He said, bud, I prayed for you. Think about that for a minute. The devil's tried to, Brother Heath, the devil wants to tear you apart. The Lord's prayed for you. Amen, friend. Enemies talk about you. People lie about you. Come on, somebody say amen. If you're a preacher, I know they've lied about you. Say amen. If you ain't preaching right. Amen. They tell on you, try to drag your family down, talk about you, tell about how awful you are. Amen. Hey, try to ruin what's going on. I got good news. He just said, that's enough. Hey, don't you ask him. It ain't going to bother him. I've heard all I want to hear, friend. And you know what? What happens? I figure out, why should I worry? Hey, why should I fear? He's put the Holy Ghost down in me. It calms my soul. It said, don't you worry about no snake. That's just what snake does. Hey, Paul, am I all right? Hey, Paul, hey, didn't even know what to do. He got bit with a snake. You know what he done? Just threw it back in the fire. You know why? He wasn't worried about it. That snake bit him, latched on to it. It was a poisonous snake. He said, look, he said, I'm on higher ground, honey. I'm up here where you can't hurt me. You may bite me, you may talk. I'm just putting you right back in the fire, and I'm going on back to work. And it didn't hurt him because the shepherd's been praying for him. But I'm going to do this right here. I've really been preaching all day to get here. Is that all right? I want you to see the prophetical part of it. I want you to see the prophetical part of it. Can I tell you, friend, you can't prepare something unless you go ahead of who you're preparing it for. You can't do it. You just can't do it. If Miss Megan was going to cook supper tonight, she's going to prepare supper when I got home, you know what she'd do? She'd have to get ahead of me, fix it before I got there, or it wouldn't be prepared. It wouldn't be ready. Y'all hearing me? He went ahead of you. And see, they say these shepherds that at some point in time, these sheep, maybe over there when they was in the green grass by them still waters, that old shepherd had to say, look, y'all just hang tight right here for a minute. I got to go somewhere. And he'd walk away. He'd walk through that valley. See, he done been through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why he ain't worried about it. It didn't bother him. He went to higher ground. He'd already threw that meat out there, drug it across that ground. He'd already put the oil in them holes. He'd already set the table. He got the grass real green. He'd already dug up the well. All that ready for his sheep to get there. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible say over there in John 14:1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me just preach it for a minute. Is that all right? Let me tell you what, them shepherds would leave them sheep in that grass. But like David, when he went and fought the Goliath, that's a picture of him going to fight the Antichrist. What did David do with them sheep? He left them there to watch them with watchers. Picture of the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord ascended, he said, I must go that I may send the Comforter unto you. He'll teach you, make you remember of all things I've said unto you. He sent us somebody to watch after us. And he went up. But he said right there that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. Let me tell you what I'm saying. Honey, the day you got saved, you passed under the rod, you got born again in that shepherd's flock. I'll tell you what he done. He took you over to green pastures. He set you down there just a minute. He said, look, right there's some good grass. There's some good water. Just hang tight right here a while. There's a place I got to go. But if I go, I'm coming back. You hear what I'm saying? He took off. He walked on through that valley. He got to the cross, honey. That's the valley of the shadow of death. And if I read my Bible right, 3 days later, he got up. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. That's why it's a shadow of death and not a valley of death. He defeated that. He went up. And friend, I'm going to tell you, listen, he said he's coming back. You know what I believe? Just any second, just any day. I mean, just any time. He's going to come back. There's higher ground up there for me. I'm telling you, I'm sick of this world. I'm sick. Hey, there'll be no more need for a chaplain. Hey, there'll be no more need to run a car wreck. Hey, there'll be no more need for cancer doctors. There'll be none of that, friend. He's going to end this thing, friend, in Revelation 19. Hey, he's going to come back on a white horse. Hey, friend, a sharp sword out of his mouth. Hey, on the table, and we'll be prepared. And where he is, I'm going to be, friend. Can I tell you, friend, this thing's about over. Yes, yeah, man, I don't know who plays piano anymore, but if somebody would, you want me to do an altar call? Yeah, listen, this thing right here is about over. Listen, I told you last week, it was awful. It was not no fun. I didn't like it one bit. I didn't like hearing about it. I didn't like hearing my buddies being in it. I'm telling you, neighbor, it bothered me. But I got going up that mountain there, Brother Heath, had about 110. Holy Ghost done sat down in my car. He said, I go prepare a place. Hey, and I come back and receive you unto myself. I'm telling you, neighbor, there's a better day coming. There's a better land coming. There's higher ground coming. I'm here to tell you, I'm looking forward to the day. Hey, like all I got to do is get up, worship God, praise God, thank God. Hey, there'll be nothing else to do. Worthy, worthy, worthy. You know what he's doing right now? He's preparing a place. He's preparing a place. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. I believe it's going to be fried chicken at that marriage supper. Amen, friend. I believe it's going to be fried chicken, Lord, and I believe the sweet tea is still going to be so cold that the water is still going to be running down the side of it. It's going to be fresh. And we're going to come back in that millennial reign. We're going to rule with him. Yeah, man, friend. And there's going to be no trouble. You know why? Them shepherds had wooden rods. But ours is going to come back with an iron one. Because he's powerful. He is taking care of business. And can I tell you, friend, I'm looking forward to that day. The closer it gets, Lord, more I look for it. The more valleys I go through, more I'm listening for the shout, friend. I'm telling you, there's a prophetical meaning to this, and he's coming back. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you stand to your feet, you need to come do business with God, would you, as the pastor comes? Let me say this. Bible says that where they teach on the shepherds about that rod, that the shepherds would walk by the sheep and they'd take that rod, they'd hold it out. And as the sheep went under it, they'd count them. That's my sheep. That's my sheep. The only way you're going to have hope for a better day coming is to make sure you've passed under the rod. And make sure that the Lord is your shepherd.